with shame, and my stomach churns because I hate to lose my cool. Carly's voice is dangerously close to her alpha tone when she says, "I wouldn't laugh if I were you." Annie doesn't get mad, but when she does, you better find a way to suck up quickly or you'll be eating garbage scraps. Tristan has enough brain cells to remain quiet as he leaves, and I let out a big breath when Carly's hand lands on my shoulder. She turns me around for an embrace and says, "I'm sorry. You don't deserve this. Those stupid guiding spirits are supposed to be smart and give us what we need. Who the hell thought you should get a big oaf of a polar bear?" He is a big oaf, isn't he? Not only that, but did you know his obsession with sweet potatoes is making his fur orange? No. My body shakes with an uncontrollable giggle. Yes, but don't tell him. I squeeze Carly's arm. Thank you. I don't know what I'd do without you. You'll never have to know. She kisses my cheek and grabs her coffee cup to leave. Can we have sweet potato fries for dinner tonight? What a lovely idea. I place the bread dough in a pan and set it on the fridge to rise. The cutting board thunks down in the sink to be rinsed, but the aroma that floats my nose tells me my blueberry muffins are done, and I abandon the dishes to remove them from the oven. I smile to myself when I use Sierra's trick of extending my claws and pulling out the muffin tin instead of using a pot holder. It's funny how the brand new werebears have taught this lifelong one a thing or two about our world. The low rumble of my mother's car sounds in my super sensitive ears, and I glance at the clock to discover she's early for our weekly business breakfast. I know why. She's anxious about the DeRosier clan assimilating into ours. While there are only 25 of them left, the two we're acquainted with are rather large forces that could disrupt our peaceful clan. As if my thoughts call her, Isabel, Tristan's twin, enters the kitchen. Her step is sluggish, and the cabinet clicks when I open it for ibuprofen before I greet her. I glance at her red-rimmed eyes and nearly white hair piled on top of her head in a messy bun that probably caused pain to create. I ask, "Anyone I need to usher out before people get here?" She shakes her head and winces at the motion. She holds out her hand and I place two round tablets in her palm, and her voice is raspy when she says, "You really are an angel. Do you need a protein shake?" "Yes, please. I promise I'll help you cook once it starts to work." Isabel falls into a chair and it creaks under her weight. She's the largest woman I've ever met, but that doesn't detract from her beauty. With her pale coloring, Nordic features, and sex appeal that rivals Sierra's, men want to climb her like she's Mount Everest. I expect if they get the chance, they're breathless when they hit the peak. No need. Carly should be down soon to help. Since my mother will want to talk out her issues about the DeRosiers, I need Isabel to leave us alone. The whine of my blender is loud as my mother enters the kitchen. When it stops, I turn to greet her. "Good morning, Mom." Thick liquid pours into a glass and I hand it to Isabel. Isabel stands. "I'm gonna go to my room until it's time for the meeting." I watch as she shuffles out. Mom says, "Someone's enjoying civilization. I hear she's sampling the local delicacies." I frown because I think Isabel's party girl attitude is masking something. Don't you wonder why?
"I do. While I'd like to welcome the DeRosier clan with open arms, I think it's wise to remember polar bears are known as the fiercest of our kind for a reason."
I try to imagine Tristan as a vicious bear. While the cocky attitude fits, his playful nature doesn't. But if he's the alpha and leading his clan to safety, he can't be all fun and games. Huh. I guess Isabel isn't the only one hiding something. Chapter 2. Annie. The buzz of conversation and lighthearted joking makes me smile as I gaze at my family and friends seated at the large